And welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon. I am Pete Burak, filling in for Al Cresta today. Our next guest is Dr. Stephen Presley. He serves as the Senior Fellow for Religion and Public Life at the Center for Religion, Culture, and Democracy, and is an Associate Professor of Church History at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. His new book is Cultural Sanctification, Engaging the World Like the Early Church. And today we're going to be talking about an excerpt from that book. Dr. Presley, welcome to Cresta in the Afternoon.
Thank you so much. Great to be with you.
Yeah, I'm excited for this conversation. I was reading the excerpt that was posted on the publicdiscourse.com, and one of the things that jumped out to me is there's been a lot of conversation kind of in church circles about this idea that we are in a time that is very similar or maybe closely associated with the early church. And I'm curious, from your perspective, what's helpful about that conversation and maybe what's not helpful? In other words, like as we talk about maybe moving from Christendom to an apostolic age again, what about that helps us? And then maybe what about that conversation maybe leads us to the wrong conclusions?
That is a fantastic question. I mean, I started out studying the early church, and the more I studied them, I kind of came to the contemporary conversation just realizing those resonances between the early church and today. And so I draw out some of the parallels, especially the moral diversity. I mean, in the early church, Christianity is an option among a host of options. Hmm. And so that moral diversity really draws a lot of parallels between the ancient world and today, particularly when it comes to institutions and structures within society. There are moral options that are available today that are similar to the way the early church is sort of facing a very diverse culture. But then I do, in the introduction of the book, I talk about some of those differences. One key difference is the early church, you know, was growing from a small ragtag group of, you know, apostles. Today, you know, we have whole institutions and structures that are often moving away from educational institutions, nonprofit institutions, a whole variety of that are moving away. So I talk about the struggle of even grieving the loss of some of these, but then the strategies and the hope of maybe reviving them where we can.
Yeah, that's an interesting distinction, right? Of course, the apostles are establishing something that has been given to them by Christ to establish. We are living in what has been established. And
that's right.
And then there's also the reality of, while clearly there's a maybe never before more options for what to believe. I mean, you can find a church of basically anything at this point. You know, I mean,
that's right.
But
that's
at the same time, we have a whole segment of people who believe they know what Christianity is about because either they were raised in it or because they it's become more familiar to them. And I wonder, what is the challenge from your perspective of re-engaging a people who, A, have more options for what to believe than ever before, and B, think one of the primary options, that being Christianity, is something that has been tried and maybe proven lacking or just not very compelling?
Yeah, this is a great question. In that excerpt that was on Public Discourse, I talk about what I observe in the apostolic age. I call it a culturally discerning spiritual life, where discernment kind of is thrust to the forefront, and Christians, authentic Christians, have to sort of sift the wheat from the tares of the moral culture. Hmm. But you're absolutely right. Today, it's even more complex. And that's why the first chapter, I begin with catechesis, and I begin with identity. And I say, there are more sort of catechetical manuals being written in some of those earliest centuries in the church, because they realized, we have got to form people, and I triangulate between doctrine, morality, and liturgy. Hmm. In other words, we've got to know what we believe, we've got to understand our moral distinctions, and we've got to create a community that is liturgically bounded and worshiping together to form a sense of communal identity as we're then venturing out into the world to live our lives and hopefully establish institutions or influence various things. And so I think that's why I argue catechesis is cultural engagement. It is the essential first step. So as you think about today, you're absolutely right. There are so many churches that are often denominations, groups that are dividing, and they're dividing along lines of orthodoxy and morality and those kinds of questions. And this is where catechesis comes in. But it is even more complex for us because we have got to, you know, catechize the faithful, starting with the young, you know, the young children, and then even the adults who may have adopted forms of a cultural Christianity in some way. But yeah, catechesis is cultural engagement. That's what I discuss in some of those early chapters.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that stood out to me in the article and the excerpt from your book, Cultural Sanctification, Engaging the World Like the Early Church, one of the things that stood out to me was you mention it, but then you kind of describe it in different ways of the church being in the world, but not of it. And we've all heard that expression, yeah. And we kind of somewhat understand what that would look like, but a lot of us kind of go through our daily lives being pretty much in the world, you know, and then we have to your point, make these clear discernment moments of where am I not in the world, or you know, like where is my heart not drawn into the things that the world values and that the world holds up as truth. Could you help the audience just maybe understand that phrase in the world but not of it more clearly?
Yeah, you know, there's an early Christian, one of the earliest Christian apologetic texts called the Epistle of Diognetus. Diognetus was a pagan, and this letter was written to him trying to explain what Christians are. I cite this letter in the introduction at length. I give two full paragraphs because it's really crafting a Christian identity, and it quotes that very passage from Paul that you just mentioned. And with the way the early Christians are understanding it, I use Andrew Walls, who's a very famous missiologist that describes in the history of Christianity, Christians have always oscillated between what he calls an indigenizing principle or the principle where Christians take up root, kind of the Jeremiah, they build cities, they build cultures, and the pilgrim principle, that is, we are not just made for this world. There is a future kingdom that is coming. And so oscillating between that plantedness, that rootedness, and then this hope or this longing for the life of the world to come, Christians cannot leave one for the other. But oftentimes it feels like today in a lot of the literature, you know, we're emphasizing one or the other. So I'm trying to hold what I think is that Pauline tension that I see in the early church between making moral and prudential decisions every single day that are governed by our Christian morality. Questions of education, questions of business practices, questions of all those things that we decide on a day. Yet every decision, like hanging over us, is that reminder of Christ will come again in glory, judge the living and the dead, and establish a kingdom that has no end, you know, what we proclaim in the creeds. Mm-hmm. So I see it in the early church, and they're trying to hold that tension together, and that very passage is cited as a hallmark. We have a particular view of marriage. We raise our kids in a particular way. We have a particular view of how we conduct our lives in the business world. These sorts of prudential decisions that they're making as a result of their moral position that is, of course, derivative of their doctrine and their theology.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking with Dr. Stephen Presley, whose new book, Cultural Sanctification, Engaging the World Like the Early Church. Here's a thought that, or here's a observation that came from your article that I thought was really, really important and one that is often misunderstood, I think, in our church communities right now, which is the idea that a community requires, let's just call it a membrane. There needs to be a clear distinction between us and them. There are those who are in the community and those who are not. It doesn't mean we don't love those who aren't. In fact, we want them to join our community, but there are demands. There is a distinction between what it looks like to be part of the Christian community and what it doesn't. And you had this line, you said, for contemporary Christians raised in the seeker-sensitive movement, this kind of personal interrogation of potential new members may seem a bit shocking. Early Christians did not immediately welcome just anyone into the church. The church's identity and purity needed to be safeguarded and preserved through a slow, steady, and deliberate process. Dr. Presley, that seems judgmental. I mean, how are we to understand that?
Yes. I mean, you know, I've taught church history for quite a number of years, and that text I'm citing comes from an early catechetical manual called On the Apostolic Tradition, and it describes this interview process. And you obviously have all kinds of issues with those who are coming into the church, either to exploit the church for personal gain. You have those who want to come into the church. In a contemporary setting, we might find someone who, in a Christendom, who just started a new real estate business and wants to drum up some business, so they come join the church. You know, something analogous like that.
Mm-hmm.
In the early church, you know, often lives were on the line, or you know, someone's reputation within the public square was on the line. And so there's this season of catechesis that took place. And I think you're absolutely right in your comment earlier about sort of a cultural Christianity. In some ways, I feel a lot of Christian communities have taken for granted, we've enjoyed the fruits of a society that assumed Christianity as the moral fabric. But now that that's waning, with cultural Christianity sort of waning, people are not joining the church simply because, for social reasons like I described a second ago. The question is, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe the teachings of the church? Do you believe the moral, you know, the moral positions that church holds? And so some of that kind of perspective means that those churches that often simply rely on isolated individual conversion experiences need to think long and hard about catechesis, about discipleship, and about how do we live in this world that is rapidly changing.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. Unfortunately, we have about a minute left. Dr. Presley, what would be your recommendation of somebody who's saying, okay, I think I'm in the world, but not of it, but how do I know?
How do you know? I mean, this is why I think we need pastors today. We need priests. Mm. We need ministers. We need clergy who are there on the front lines, reassuring, discipling, counseling ministers. So I would talk to your local priest, talk to your clergy, talk to your pastor, talk to those who you know are Orthodox or Christian or godly people and ministers, and listen to the faithful believers around you and find yourself within a community of Christian Orthodoxy and Christian ministry where you can thrive and you can flourish.
Where can we find your new book?
You can find it on Amazon, Cultural Sanctification, Engaging the World Like the Early Church.
Awesome. Dr. Presley, thank you so much for your work. Thank you for this contribution to this really important topic of Christian community in but not of the world. And appreciate you being on with us on Crescent in the Afternoon.
Thank you so much. So good to be with you.
All right. That was Dr. Stephen Presley, his new book, Cultural Sanctification, Engaging the World Like the Early Church. I'm Pete Burek. We'll be right back.